Amen, Brother Ed. It's June 7th, Wednesday night, service here at Landmark Baptist Church. We just want to make a heads up. Next Wednesday, we'll be starting our vacation Bible school. It'll start on Wednesday, go all the way to Saturday night. From 5:30 to 7:30, we're hoping to get a bunch of children in here. Teach them about the love of God. Teach them how to treat one another, forgive one another, and help one another. I mean, there's a devil down here, and if we don't teach them, he will. And we want them to do right. We want them to know how to do right. But we want to go real quick to the Lord in prayer. Got several people want to pray for. We pray, dear God, tonight, Lord, for Lord, your blessings upon the works of this church. Let it be a blessing. Lord, we pray, Lord Father, for Patty. Lord, she fell and Lord, made a gash there on the side of her head there by her eye. We pray for Patty. Pray for her and James.
Yes.
Pray, Lord Father, for Lord, Carol and Larry and Serenity and Leroy. Lord, they've been sick. We pray for them. Pray for Sue Bone. Pray for Denny. Pray, Lord, for Sister Joanne Smith. Lord, she's been such a blessing. Been coming. Lord, just unbelievably showing up. We praise God for that. I pray you continue to bless her. I pray for Sister Brenda Goth. Lord, me and Brother Ed, we pray for her, Lord. Her neck's out of alignment or something. She is going to go to a chiropractor and see if they can help her. And Lord, we pray for her. And Lord, pray you'd help her, Lord, to get some relief from her neck. We pray, Lord Father, for Lord Patrick and Sarah. Lord, they're trying to get moved into their house. We pray for them about that. I pray, dear Father, Lord, for all of our children that's out of school. Pray, Lord, you'd watch over them, make sure none of them get hurt. Bless our efforts, Lord, in this vacation Bible school. I pray we'd have some success in it.
Amen.
Lord, we just pray, Father, Lord, for Lord, Judy. She's coming back again this Sunday. Just got blessed last Sunday. Wanting to come get some more. We thank God for that. I pray, Lord, Father, for this country. Lord, I pray it would be able to see itself in the mirror of the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, they'd do a Nineveh of repentance. I pray they'd, Lord, be ashamed of themselves. I pray, God, Lord, you'd help this country, Lord, find its way back to God. Bless our churches. Bless our schools. Lord, help us, I pray. Thank you for Brother Charles Fishback and his deacon, Lord, Brother Kenneth and his wife showed up last Sunday night. Real good service. Real good singing.
Yeah.
Good, just really enjoyed being in the house of God. Pray your blessings upon them, their work over at Mount Zion Baptist Church, Lord.
Yeah.
And bless all the vacation Bible schools going on right now. Bless all the revivals going on right now. And Lord, I just pray you'll help us be mindful, Lord, that people still going to hell.
Yeah.
I know your words say where there's no vision, people perish. And Lord, I do believe we need a burden. And I pray, God, you'd help us do what we can while we can. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sing just a little bit of this song tonight.
Hi, Carolyn.
I do want to sing something. I want to pray for Tammy, too. Lord, she's doing better. We want her to keep doing better.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Here's just going to sing a little bit of this song. And number 140 in the Blue Heavenly Highway Hymn. And the song's called No Not One. I was in a nursing home. I preached at a nursing home for over 10 years. And there was a lady requested this song. I'd never heard it before. And we didn't know it. We struggled through it. But boy, what a song. And boy, really enjoyed singing it. But it says, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like Him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that He is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No, not so dark, but His love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Last verse. Was e'er a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will He refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. We sung four of them five stanzas of that song. What a good song. What a good song about Jesus. Amen. I want to make a couple real quick announcements here. This will be the good news here. On Sermon Audio, the CEO, see if I can find his name on here. He sent me an email. I'm trying to look for his name. I don't see it. I'll probably hear it. It's Stephen Lee. Stephen Lee is the CEO of Sermon Audio. He sent me this email, and he states that we're on the verge of something truly revolutionary for global missions. The impact and significance of artificial intelligence is profound and has taken the world by storm. It might be fair to say that AI could be the most transformation technology since invention of internet itself with any revolutionary technology. There are pros and cons that should be argued as to its use. However, it is our belief that a powerful tool of this magnitude must be employed for the kingdom of God and for the gospel. Amen. In our labs, he said, we have successfully proven the concept of what we're calling global sermons, where we can take any sermon preached in English and have it re-preached in multiple languages like French, Spanish, Russian, Chinese. He said, because AI tools are fundamentally designed to handle large amounts of information and language models, he said, we can achieve a high level of accuracy and natural sound and voice that has never before been possible. We believe this is our moment. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God, Acts chapter 2, verse 11. And if you had this, there's a demonstration of this where one of the messages is preached in like five languages, which is what I got to hear.
Wow.
Now, on a sad note, our border opened sadly for all the wrong reasons. I just got caught up on this, but just so many children are coming across our border for only one purpose. They've been sold to be sex slaves.
Yeah.
58,000. They come through with a name tag. And the border guards, they don't have no say in this. They don't like it. They have to do what they're told, but when they give them a name tag, they have to transport this child to this address with our tax dollars, and the pedophile gets one of these children, little boy, little girl, child molesters, child abusers. You know, it's kind of sad that our country has sunk that low, so sexually impure. You know, the Lord said before He came back, it'd be like it was in the days of Lot, and that's what it was, sexual abuse. And the cry of it reached all the way to heaven, and the Lord come down to see how bad it was, and He rained down fire and brimstone on it. I think we've about made full circle here. Yeah. I believe we're getting ready to get our Exodus out, and I believe He's going to clean this mess up. I don't know of anything I can do. Now here's, let's see what else we got here. I want to read this. This is actually, I didn't print it all out. Wait a minute. Well, I'll read what I got. This is from, well, back 1802. It says, a voice from the past to lead us in the future. John F. Kennedy held a dinner in the White House for a group of the brightest minds in the nation at that time, and he made this statement. This is perhaps the assembly of the most intelligent people ever together at one time in the White House, with the exception of when Thomas Jefferson dined alone. He said, when we get piled up one upon another in large cities as Europe, we shall become as corrupt as Europe, Thomas Jefferson. He said, democracy will cease to exist when you take away from those who are willing to work and give to those who would not, Thomas Jefferson. It's incumbent on every generation to pay its own debts as it goes, a principle which, if acted upon, would save one half of the wars of the world, Thomas Jefferson. I predict the future and happiness for Americans if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under pretense of taking care of them, Thomas Jefferson. My reading of history convinces me that most bad government results from too much government, Thomas Jefferson. No free man shall ever be debarred from the use of arms, Thomas Jefferson. The strongest reason for people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is as a last resort to protect themselves against tyranny and government, Thomas Jefferson. The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants, Thomas Jefferson. To compel a man to subsidize with his taxes the propagation of ideas which he disbelieves and abhors is simple and tyrannical, Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson also said, I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around the banks will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless and on the continent their fathers conquered. Talking about America. That's just, want to throw that to you. That, this slide, that's done been fulfilled here in America. Amen.
That's been fulfilled.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't heed the warning there.
No.
All right, we're going to be in Exodus chapter number, I believe, 5 tonight.
Yeah.
We stopped at verse number 20.
No. We're in Exodus 20.
No, we're in Ephesians. Sorry.
Yeah.
Ephesians where we're at. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, 5. You're right.
Yeah, we're in... Sorry, I probably said Exodus. Ephesians chapter 5. We stopped at verse number 20 because it changes here at verse number 21. But it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason it mentions the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the only access we have to the Father. He's our mediator. He's the one, you know, that made that new and living way where we could come boldly to the throne of grace, make our petitions known, but giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Hi, Brother Mark.
I want to turn real quick to James, talking about submission. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about submitting ourselves to God. And with the thought of submitting yourselves to God, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own, and I like those terms, your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, if you want to submit to God, this is kind of like how you do it. The wife is supposed to be submitted to her own husband as unto the Lord. That's one way of submission. And you're submitting to God when you do that. And I know we've got, Women's Lib and all that stuff going on today, but that's not Bible. The Bible says for us to submit. And it don't stop at the wife. We'll get on here a little further about the husband. It tells why the wife should submit to her own husband in the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church,
right,
and He is the Savior of the body.
I
now, you women ought to be thankful for that. That means He gets all the blame if everything goes wrong. And you need to support Him, and you need to pray for Him, and you need to submit to Him every now and then. You need to be like my wife and give Him some advice about things, you know. But it says here that the wife is to submit herself to her own husband. I like that terminology.
Yes.
And it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body.
Amen.
Now, the Lord set all everything up. He made everything. You read about creation right there, Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2. The Lord made everything. He set everything in order. And this is the way He says the order of the family is supposed to be.
Yes.
And He says, verse 25. Oh, wait a minute. I left that verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. I hope all the churches out there listen to this. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now that terminology, their own husbands, you're not obligated to nobody else but your husband
right. When
it comes to submitting to God. Now if you want to submit to God, this is what you need to do. You need to submit yourselves to your own husbands. And it says here, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And here's the order to the husband. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives.
Mm-hmm.
I've been married to my wife 47 years. And I'd have to say of a surety, I love her more today than I ever did in our whole marriage.
Sure.
Her capacity's pretty frail. And she don't fight with me like she used to. She square off, you know. And we're not talking about fist fight. We're just talking about having argument, word salads, and give me a piece of my mind. She give me a piece of her mind.
Yeah, that's right.
But it says, husbands, love your wives. And again, I like this terminology. You husbands out there,
even as Christ,
love your wives. Not somebody else's wife.
No.
Wives, love your husbands. Well, it says submit to your husbands. But here in a minute, we'll get a little further here. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it.
Amen.
Now, that's unconditional love. The church wasn't worth the sacrifice that Jesus gave, nor the love, nor the prayers. It wasn't worth it. But husbands are to love their wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. This unconditional love, there's no other way really that you can love anybody any more than Christ loved the church. And He tells the husbands, love your wives.
Yeah.
You know, I love my wife more today because she put up with me all them years.
That's right.
I love her today because, you know, I guess it gets sweeter with time. I don't know, but I'm so glad she's my wife. And, you know, looking back 47 years ago, we was just young, yeah. Made every mistake could be made.
Yes,
but, you know, that also caused you to love one another because you've been through deep water together. We buried two daughters. My wife, she's had all kind of surgery, bedfast now for 2 years. All those things incline in the area of love. And cause you to be more dedicated. Most time I was gone.
Yeah.
Now I'm there.
Yeah.
And I'm taking care of her. Fixed her breakfast this morning. We're talking bacon, scrambled eggs, hash browns, toast, a big tomato quarter with salt on it. Bought her a cup of coffee. I may be the reason she is big fast. I think I'm spoiling her.
Yeah.
But, you know, she cooked for me for all those years.
That's right.
Boy, I sure enjoyed that cooking, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, you did.
Amen. That's one of the reasons I did stay. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
I know for sure it's one of the reasons I married her. They say a way to a man's heart's through his stomach.
Yeah.
I sit down at her table. I knew right then, Brother Eddie, even if I had to kill somebody, she's going to be my wife.
That's right.
I love to eat. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
But I hear husbands. If you want to submit to God, like verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Yes.
If you want to submit to God, love your own wives.
Yes.
Love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Yes.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The word, I was telling Donnie on the way here to church tonight, that word didn't return void. It prospers in the thing it's sent to do. But here, this washing of water by the word. Jesus said, now are you clean by the word which I spoke. I don't know if I can find that scripture. I think it's in 1 John. But that word will clean you up.
Mm-hmm. It me.
Yeah, me too, brother. Me too. Let me see if I can. I want to find this. I think it fit real good right here.
It's in 1 John or 2 John?
No, it's in 2 John.
Yeah.
I think. And it's too much territory in my little pea brain, I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Way too much territory. But he said, now are you clean through the word. Let's see here. Clean right here. We finally found it. It's a John chapter 15, verse 3. Thank God for a concordance. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
But Jesus says, now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. He's talking about he's the vine, and his father's the husbandman.
Yeah.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it,
yeah,
that it might bring forth more fruit. But he says here, while I turn to this, now are ye clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. I don't know how many times I've been in church, and the preacher be preaching, he might even be chasing rabbits. Don't make no difference. If he's preaching the word of God, it'll have something in there that'll help you. Most of the time you'll leave church a whole lot cleaner than you was when you came in. Amen.
Amen.
But the Lord here, loving the church, giving himself for it, his goal is that he might sanctify and cleanse it, talking about the church,
yeah,
with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself. This is a good verse. And I want you to listen. Jesus is going to present his own church.
Yeah,
he purchased
right.
it with his own blood.
Yes,
we're not our own. We've been bought with a price.
That's right.
But it says here that he might present it, talking about the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, Brother Eddie, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't neither, but he can.
Yeah.
And by the washing of the water, by the word, And by the work of the Holy Spirit of God, the Lord's going to present to Himself a glorious church. In Philippians, it talks about He that's begun a good work in you will continue it to the day of Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And He's working on us. He's the potter, we're the clay.
Amen.
And He's molding us and making us. And the goal is that one day He's going to present the church to Himself as a glorious church.
Yes.
Now, this is the work of God that the Lord told husbands to love their wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it.
Yes.
He has something in mind when He purchased the church with His own blood.
Yeah.
And let me turn over here real quick. Little old book right in front of Revelation, book of Jude.
Yeah.
It says in verse 24 of Jude, it's only got one chapter. Now unto Him, this is talking about Jesus, that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. I just want you to know the goal of the Lord is to present His church.
Yeah,
Peter mentions that we're kept by God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
I've never been able to keep nothing, to be honest with you.
No, me either.
But it says we're kept by God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. I just want you to know the Lord is keeping us. The Lord's going to present us. He's keeping us from falling. He's keeping us. You know, Judy, she come last Sunday, and she'd been out of church quite a while. She come in and just fell right on that altar there and just cried her eyes out and made things right between her and the Lord. Got up and hugged Janine, and they hugging each other and patting each other on the back, and I just enjoyed watching that. Amen.
Amen.
But the Lord here talking about submission. The church needs to be submitted to Him. Wives need to be submitted to their husbands. Husbands need to be submitted to their wives and to the Lord. And the whole goal is that the church might be without blame, that it might be spotless, that it might be without blemish. And then it goes on, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. The Bible mentions about two shall be one. I believe it's in Matthew chapter 19. The Lord here, He just kind of putting them in their place here in Matthew chapter 19.
Yeah.
But they went a little further. It says in Matthew chapter 19, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, He departed from Galilee and came to the coast of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto Him, tempting Him and saying unto Him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And Jesus, I like the way He answered them. And He answered and said unto them, have ye not read? Boy, that's a pretty good answer right there.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, boys, you're asking me something. Your Lord already knows what He's saying.
Your Lord already read it.
He said, have ye not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female? By the way, that's two for those of you that struggle how many genders there are.
Yeah.
And He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. There are no more twain but one flesh. Therefore God have joined together, let not man put asunder.
Amen.
But the Lord here said men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. That's my wife.
Yes.
And I'm her husband. And that's about all I've got to take care of when I say this. I'll give an account to God for my wife.
Yeah.
How I treated my wife. He'll know. Well, she'll know. When we get there, old Brother Eddie gets up morning about 4 o'clock and prays for his wife. Prays for her health. Prays for her, needs. That she'd be able to get her mobility back, be able to enjoy the days, the few days that God gives us to live.
Right.
I get down and pray for her. And every husband ought to pray for their wife.
Yeah.
Wives, you ought to pray for your husbands.
Yeah.
I just want you to know the Lord ordained the marriage. He done it for the sake of man, but after he done it, he wanted the marriage to be a blessing and a beautiful thing. And when it's right, it's right. When it ain't right, it ain't right.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 talks pretty strong about the marriage.
Yeah.
It says, marriage is honorable in all.
Yeah.
My granddaughter, she's getting ready to get married or have a ceremony. They didn't got married, but they want to have a marriage ceremony July the 1st, I believe.
Yeah.
But it says, marriage is honorable and all. She came to me and she said, Pop, I want to do this right. I'm going to go get a marriage license. We're going to get married. She said, we'll have a ceremony later. They didn't have no money. And it's, just for lack of better words, I like what she said. I want to do it right.
Yeah.
But marriage is honorable. You know, I know today they live together and same sex, and I don't know, some binary or don't identify with anything. It's crazy mess I've ever seen. I just know this. God's not the author of confusion.
Nope.
He set the order of everything.
Amen.
And marriage is honorable in all if it's right marriage. In the bed, undefiled if it's pertaining to the marriage. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. That one verse just stuck right in the middle there of Hebrews chapter 13. But there's no denying what God said in that one verse right there. And he says here, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. I'll just say this to you men out there. One day you're going to stand before God, and God's going to tell you, that was my daughter you mistreated. I gave you my daughter so you could have a wife.
Yeah.
And I want him to say, well done, boy. You done pretty good. I have to admit, I don't claim to be the best husband, a perfect husband, nothing like that, but I am my wife's husband. Amen.
Right.
Says, for no man, verse 29, ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Every church, if it's any church at all, God is nourishing that church.
That's right.
He's bringing in what's needed. He's removing what's not needed. Does a little pruning.
Right.
And sometimes he does a little, just the visitors show up. We had Ashley show up here over here one day. And boy, what a blessing that was.
Yeah.
She showed up over there, two boys and Carter. I think it was Carter. They said, Mama, there's a church. We could go there. And we love them. We've been trying to help them. We pray for them. But, the Lord, He sends that blessing in that church. He'll send somebody in there to sing. He'll send somebody in there to testify. He'll send somebody in there to get saved. And the church, in the book of Acts, it talks about the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. But the Lord, He nurtures that church and cherishes that church. He takes care of it because He's the head of the church.
Amen.
And in verse 23, it says, as Christ is the head of the church, and the husband is the head of the house. And I'm not saying that no derogatory manner. Somebody's got to lead.
Right.
Women, they have nervous breakdowns from having to lead because they've got a spineless husband that won't lift a finger, do nothing, and they have to do it all. But I'll just tell you this, when the man's in his place and the woman's in her place, we'll get here, I don't know if we'll get in chapter 6 or not, but the children will start fitting in where they're supposed to be, amen.
Right.
But the man's got to be where he needs to be, and the woman needs to be where they need to be. And he says here, for we are members, verse 30, We are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. I got born again saved April 27, 1988, and I'm part of the body of Christ. I might not be nothing but an earlobe, might not be nothing but a finger, but I'm in the body of Christ. Amen. And the Lord, He's the one that corrects me. He's the one that cares for me. He told me to cast all my care upon Him, for He cares for me. But we're members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. And He's nourishing and cherishing us because He's the head of the church. Verse 31, for this cause shall a man, notice that gender, masculine, a man, shall leave his father, again, male, and mother, female, and be joined unto his wife, another female, and they two shall be one flesh. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. A lot of mysteries in the Bible,
yeah,
which just means it's not like just anybody can pick it up and run with it. But Paul is doing a great job right here putting this in perspective. And if the husband and wife are submitted to the Lord, it's a whole lot easier to submit to one another. But if you're not submitted to the Lord, you'll have trouble in the flesh. That's what Paul said about being unequally yoked together. He said, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Like I said, a lot of this stuff I just read right here, a lot of people have a lot of problem with this. And the reason is because they don't have any humility. They've got, you know, pride. They've got too much of their self. They haven't crucified their self. And they're not willing to die to their self, let Christ live. But I'll tell you what, you find out that through humility and through honesty with the Lord, you'll find out that the Lord, He'll bless you. I read a verse one day that said, when a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies be at peace with him. Yeah. Sometimes the enemy's me. Sometimes I'm the one that's causing all the problems.
Right.
So I've got to humble myself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt me in due time. That's what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says.
You know, Brother Eddie, I was 38 years old before I got saved, and my wife was taking our children and going to church, and I just refused to go with her.
Yeah.
But after I got saved, one of the first things that I learned in the book was children was a gift from God.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize
that.
Yeah,
I didn't either, Brother Ed.
You know.
I was a late bloomer and a slow learner,
yes,
too.
Yes, me too. And you know,
yeah,
after I learned that, then that's when I got down and got serious,
yeah,
with God and started apologizing for,
yeah,
Him, the way I was raising my children. I needed help to raise my children in the right way.
Yeah.
And you just would not believe how I begged and talked to God about different things. You know, I told you that I begged Him to put a hedge around my home that, because I was out on the road and,
yeah,
I needed Him to watch over my family. And
amen.
He did. And just little things like that come back to my mind when you're teaching out of these books like this, you know, that how I was before He came into my life.
Right.
Oh my goodness, I lived for the devil like, yeah, he would not believe.
I had eyes but I didn't see, and had ears but I didn't hear.
Absolutely, me too. And you know, and the thing of it was, I grew up under preaching.
Yeah.
As a young man, my
well, wasn't paying attention. Yeah.
No, I didn't pay no attention.
No, I had my mind elsewhere. Yeah.
And you know, under his preaching, I grew up under his preaching, and wasn't saved until I was married and had two children already. And
yeah.
I tell you what, it sure changed my life when he come into my life. And there's a little girl right on here right now, Amanda.
Yeah.
How he changed my life. And how,
amen,
it's hers too. I mean, she was a strict Catholic boy.
Yeah.
God saved her. And now she's going to heaven with the rest of us.
Amen, Brother Ed. Psalms 127 talks about children. Verse 3, it says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. I mean, Psalms 127, verse 3, And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Yeah. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man,
yeah,
so are children of the youth. Happy is the man to have his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And well, I guess that's it.
I love you, Pop. You wrote.
But children are a blessing. You can't get them at Walmart no more. They quit carrying them.
Yeah, I know.
We had a man show up over at church about two Sundays ago, Andy, Brother Andy, and they had 9 children, him and Shelly.
Oh, yeah.
I think I remember their names. Annabelle.
Yeah.
Josiah.
Yeah.
Elisha.
Yeah.
Billy.
Yeah.
George. Anna. And...
A little tiny one.
Yeah. Audrey and Micah.
Yeah.
And that's a real blessing. The man, Brother Andy, showed up over here. They bought a bus, but they had, I think, 9 children. And boy, they're working with them too. I mean, they're homeschooling them.
Yeah.
And it's a blessing just to watch how they conducted themselves. Speaking about children, we're going to go ahead and get started here in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, and it tells you why. For this is right. Now, we got a lot of disobedient today out on the streets when they need to be at the house, need to be helping out with the dishes, helping out, taking the trash out, helping out, you know, around the house, you know, mowing the yard, whatever. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, if your parents told you to go down buy some beer off the bootlegger, I want you to listen to this. Oh, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If your parents ask you to do something dishonest, then God will let you pass on that. He said, obey your parents in the Lord. Trying to think. I had a thought, I think it was about Joseph, how he obeyed his father. And even though Joseph obeyed his father, he still got in trouble, but he ended up being the will of God, saved them all in the long run. But children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That's actually the 5th commandment.
Yes.
The first 4 commandments deal with man's relationship with God, but this is the first commandment with man's relationship with man. Mm-hmm. And it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And then it tells you why. That it may be well with thee.
Yeah.
And thou mayest live long on the earth. There's a lot of young graves out there.
Mm.
Real young. I remember doing a funeral one time of a child. It was Anna Marie Smith that died in the womb. I mean, sometimes you don't go far. But I'll tell you this. If you do want to go far, here's what you need to do.
Right.
Obey your parents and the Lord. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise. And it says on down there, verse 4, and you fathers, we got Father's Day coming up, and father is a big responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And I did struggle with that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let me read this scripture here real quick. We might stop right there. I'm looking at the clock. We may go a little further, may not. But in Proverbs chapter 17, I was talking about fathers there.
Yeah.
It says here, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6, children's children, that's talking about grandchildren,
right,
are the crown of old men.
Yeah.
I got 2 of them. I got Maddie and Brooklyn. But notice the rest of this verse. I told about ye fathers.
Yeah.
And the glory of children are their fathers. They think their father hung the moon. They think, well, my dad's got this, or my dad can do this. My dad can whoop your dad, whatever. I just want you to know, children, look up to their dads. Don't be a sorry father.
No.
Be a good father.
That's right.
Be a praying father. Job, he took care. He prayed for his children. He said it may be that they cursed God in their heart. You know, he was a praying father.
Yeah.
Like I said, we got Father's Day coming up. But Job here, in Job chapter number 1, it says here, verse 5, and it was so when the days of their feast and was gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. He had 10 children.
Yeah.
And for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.
Yeah.
Thus did Job continually. Fathers are an important figure in the home. New wives, it's hard to be a husband. It's hard to be a father, but it's a whole lot easier to be a husband and a whole lot easier to be a father when you got a praying wife backing you up.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you right now, devils down here love to mess up homes.
Yeah.
And if they can get the husband or the father, they can get the rest of the home. But ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath.
Yes.
You know, even though my dad busted my behind, I needed it every time.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it a bit. But looking back, Brother Ed, I love my dad more for correcting me.
Oh yes.
Than anything he done for me. Taught me how to skin a rabbit. Taught me how to skin a squirrel. How to clean fish. How to catch fish. How to kill a deer.
Yeah.
But I tell you right now, my dad also taught me that he was the authority of our home.
That's right.
My mama used to say, "I'm gonna tell your daddy when he gets home." I said, "I'll be good."
Yeah.
I mean, immediately, buddy, I was ready to listen. Amen. She knew where, I guess, the authority was in the home. When she said, "I'm going to tell your dad when he gets home," I said, "Mom, I'm sorry. Is there anything I can do?" But children, just like the husband and the wife are important in the home, children are also important in the home. The Bible says a child left its own brings its mother shame. And it says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And now in our schools, they're training our children to be homosexuals and lesbians. And that ought not be so in America, in a Christian nation like this nation. Our children ought to be taught right things.
Amen.
They'll at least have a chance.
And
let me explain why they're so vulnerable to that. God set this thing up.
Yes.
To where little boys are not interested in little girls until a certain age.
Right.
And that's why they're preying on them. They say, "You're just like us. You're not interested in girls." And they're not interested in girls. But there's a reason they're not interested in girls. They're not of the age. You know, they give them puberty blockers and all that stuff. Mess their lives up. Most of them take their lives. Commit suicide.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, this country, so blessed of God, has turned its back on the very one that raised it up.
Oh.
And we're plumb out of kelter. We need to do a Nineveh repentance in America and return to God and ask God to spare this country.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're in the wrong kind of trouble. What kind of trouble, Brother Eddie? The kind of trouble mentioned in Acts, I mean in Psalms chapter 9, verse 17, says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, this nation has forgot God. Just like Thomas Jefferson said, we need to stay close to God. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we'll stop right there.
Chapter 6, next week.
Yeah, we'll be in Vacation Bible School.